Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and we are studying at Roland Springs Baptist Church. And our study is now on 1 Corinthians, and we are in Lesson 7 today. And it's all about Christian liberty. So we will start this morning by prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we need you to lead us and guide us through your Holy Spirit and teach us your word, your truth, Father. We ask that you speak to each heart today that is listening and help us to know you more, to understand your truths. Give us the wisdom and the knowledge that we may go out and serve you and bring you honor and glory by sharing your word with those that we come in contact with. And we ask it now in the name of Jesus. As we always do when we start a lesson, we like to review what we have studied previously. So to begin the study today, we want to look at the last main segment in 1 Corinthians. That last segment was chapters 7 through 16. And this part of the letter that Paul wrote begins with, "Now concerning the things about which you wrote." We know in studying the first chapters of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, we learned that Paul was writing back to the church at Corinth because they had sent him a letter. So this is what we see as he wrote the letter back to them in answer. And the first thing he addressed is marriage, divorce, and remarriage. That was in chapter 7. And of course, we're talking about the second segment. And then in chapters 8 through 10, Paul said, "Now concerning things sacrificed," that was food that was offered to idols. So we want to begin now in chapter 8 today, and I will read the first 6 verses. And starting with verse 1, "Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live." Now, let's look at how Paul started this segment in verses 1 through 3. It was about know and knowledge of love. All who have knowledge, but that only makes one ignorant or puffed up. And we see that he speaks here that love edifies or builds up a Christian brother. And knowledge, knowing God and living the Christian life, is to be based on love. Now, in verses 4 through 6, what did Paul say about idols? He said, There is no such thing as an idol. And then he goes on to say there is no God but one, but there might be so-called gods. This is contrasted with the one God by whom and from whom all things exist. That's the knowledge all believers need to have. So, let's go forward now and read verses 7 through 13. Paul says in verse 7, however, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with consciousness of the idol, until now eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food does not commend us to God, for whether if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if someone sees you who has knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? Verse 11, and because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. So, did the believers in Corinth have the same knowledge about idols as Paul did? Of course, we see that they didn't have the weak ones. Corinth was a very adulterous society. And when people are saved, they didn't immediately understand that idols had no power. So Paul is trying to explain this, and he is saying here, how does eating affect one's relationship to God? And he didn't, in this context, commend one to God. People are no better or worse for what they eat. Let's look at cross-reference here, where Paul spoke to those in Jerusalem in the book of Acts. Let's look at some scripture, Acts 15, 22 through 29, and I'll read these verses. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barnabas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. Verse 23, now it's in the book of Acts, chapter 15, if you want to be sure and write this down, verses 22 through 29. Verse 23, they wrote this letter by them, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren. They wrote it to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. Greetings. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with one beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourself from these, then you do well. So, here we see in the book of Acts that the elders of the church wrote a letter to the saved Gentile churches saying that they should abstain from eating things sacrificed to idols. So, who then did Paul address in 1 Corinthians 9:13, 9 through 13, and what did he want them to consider? Now, as we get further along in the lesson, we'll see those that he wrote to that were those that had the knowledge that they had received in this decree given to them in Jerusalem. And they needed to consider their weak brother. That would be those in the church that were believers, but they were weak. They had not grown in the knowledge and wisdom in Christ as they should have. They who might think that there's something wrong with eating food which had been sacrificed to an idol. So he is saying, don't let knowledge or liberty be a stumbling block to a weak brother. The knowledgeable brother is to act in love toward one another who has a conscience that might be weak and become defiled. In other words, he is saying believers can't let knowledge ruin a weak brother's conscience. That kind of arrogant knowledge leads to sin. In other words, these that are stronger in the word and understand of what Paul has been teaching, and there are those in the church that are weak and don't yet understand it all, the stronger should not let their knowledge of what they know ruin or tear down a weaker brother, his conscience. That's very arrogant, and it leads to sin. So what was Paul's conclusion then? He would never eat meat again if it caused his brother to stumble. Meat was offered to idols here in Corinth because it was a wicked nation, and they were worshiping idols, and they offered meat. And since they didn't eat it, they sold it in the market as food for people to buy. And sometimes the people didn't know it had been sacrificed to an idol. Let's look again at a cross-reference in the book of Romans. Romans 14:1 says, this is Paul writing to the Romans, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. Paul is saying, I'm not offending the weak brothers in this letter also. Here it has to do with eating meat regarding one day, probably a reference to the Sabbath above another, and drinking wine. And the principles are the same as in 1 Corinthians. Don't please yourself and offend a brother. So another cross-reference we see is in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1-4. This is again Paul writing to the Philippians. And he says in verse 1, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but for the interest of others. So here we see that Paul is again encouraging them he's saying with humility, consider other believers as more important than yourself. Look out for their interests. So that gives us in the 8th chapter what Paul is speaking of, that we should have love for our brother and sister in Christ and look out for those that are weaker in the knowledge and wisdom, and let our conscience be the guide through God's word. And in Romans 15:6, he said that you may be with one mind and one mouth glorify God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go to chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians and see what this chapter is about. I'll read the first 7 verses of chapter 9. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I am an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. My defense to those who examine me is this. Do we have no right to eat and drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife? Or do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord, and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? Whoever goes to war at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit? Or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? So here we see Paul's defense is about his apostleship. He said, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Christ Jesus? And some of the Corinthian church was examining him or judging him. That was back in verses 3 and chapter 4. 1-5. But Paul presented himself as an example of exercising love over knowledge, as he didn't use the rights that he had. And in these verses, he spoke of himself in 8:13, and he continued to speak about himself in this chapter. He said that he was free, that he was an apostle, and he saw Jesus. And the Corinthians were his work in the Lord, the seal of his apostleship. God had sent him to preach the gospel, and he was preaching the gospel to those that needed to hear the word of the Lord. And they were the ones that the Lord Jesus had sent him to preach to. He said in here, are you not the work of the Lord? And so his defense to those who examined him was that he had rights, but he didn't use it. Rights in the Greek is liberty. He had the right to eat and to drink and to take along a believing wife and to refrain from working. And he illustrated these rights with a soldier, and he's also with one who plants a vineyard and a shepherd. He used that. He said, does not one go to war? If a person goes to war, he has the right to defend himself. He goes to war at his own expense. And he also said, who builds a vineyard and does not eat? He used this as an example that he had the right or the liberty. Now, in verses 8 through 14, we want to look and see what he is saying as he continues to speak to the Corinthians. And I'm going to read verses 8 through 14. Do I say these things as a mere man, or does the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while he treads out the grain. Is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt. This is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of this hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap you material things? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offering of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. So the main point that we see in these verses, it tells us that even in the Old Testament law, it gave the right for oxen to eat while threshing. And it's not wrong for material things to be given to those who share spiritual things. Those that are believers in the Lord shall be blessed also with spiritual things. And also he points out that those who proclaim the gospel are to give their living from doing that and be supported by those they minister to spiritually. So why didn't Paul take advantage of these rites? But we know why he didn't. Because he didn't want to cause a hindrance to the gospel. Okay, so now then, let's go further and see what he teaches us and what he is teaching to the Corinthians. We have to look at these scriptures and look at the church today and compare and see how that all of these things reflect to us today as believers, and that we should live it out as Paul was teaching the word to these Corinthians, that they were to live it out. So now I'm going to read verses 15 through 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. But I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things, that it should be done so to me, for it would be better for me to die than that anyone should make my boasting void. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship, what is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. And to those who are under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may partake of it with you. Now here we see Paul's example in these verses. He wrote that he used none of his rights, and that his desire in writing was not to impose his rights on the Corinthians. And the thrust of Paul's life was to preach the gospel that he might win some. And it was Paul's stewardship from God, as we see in chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. His goal was to win people for salvation through the gospel. And he gave examples of this, that he wanted to preach the gospel without charge, becoming all things to men and to win some. And he preached this, he says, to a Jew, to the Jews, to those that were without the law, those that were not following the law. He was not under the law, but he was free from it. And he preached to the weak. In this context, it speaks of the unsaved, not Christian brothers. So, he made himself a slave to all that he might win more or lead more to salvation. This was Paul's goal. Now then, we'll go forward and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body, and bring it into subjection. When I have preached to others, I myself become disqualified. So, what was Paul's example here? He wrote again that he used none of his rights, and his desire in writing was not to impose his rights on the Corinthians. So, here in these verses, Paul was preaching the gospel so that people were saved, they were won. And he illustrates in these verses 24 through 27, looking at a runner competing in a race. And the runner runs until he finishes. And his goal is to win and to receive the prize. And Paul here wanted to preach the gospel. He was running the race of discipline in the Spirit of God because he wanted to finish the race well. And another quality that he used here was self-control. Self-control is over the body. It's to discipline, he says, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. So what does discipline mean? It's a definition, means to strike under the eyes or beat the face black and blue or give a black eye. And this is in Greek. To keep one's body under complete control. Discipline is in the present tense, which means continuous action, and indicative mood, which means now. So, as a habit or as a lifestyle, Paul kept his body under control, not letting it control him. And it was as if he was running a race to win the prize. And he also used that I myself should become disqualified. So what is it to be disqualified? The Greek is unapproved, unworthy, worthless. In other words, disapprove or rejected or striking to meet the test. So he runs this race that he is running, which is to preach the gospel of Christ so that he won't be disqualified. So what does this illustration say to us? It says that he disciplined himself as he preached the gospel to the lost and to choose love for his brothers. He didn't eat sacrifice idols if it meant causing a brother to stumble. And he chose love over knowledge, and he ran with discipline, self-control, so that he would not be disqualified. So he is running a race in a spiritual race. He is running this race that he might qualify and please Jesus. What did he say? Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. Those that run in a earthly race, but he says we, that's believers, for an imperishable crown. In other words, we are running this race so that whenever we are before Christ and face the judgment, that we will be able to receive a crown for serving him, and a crown that will not perish, but it'll be an everlasting crown. So, we need to look at our own selves and our own lives and think about what kind of race are we running? Are we running a race to receive an imperishable crown? Are we running a race to receive an incorruptible crown? So, in closing, let's look back at 1 Corinthians 8 and see the highlights of that chapter. Here, we learn that knowledge puffs up and that love builds up. And we learned that there's no such thing as an idol. And also Paul taught, don't let liberty run weak brothers. In other words, as believers that are strong in the word, don't let the liberty of that cause us to not uphold the weaker brother. Don't let the liberty of knowing the truth keep us from helping the weaker brother. And then in 1 Corinthians 9, the highlights of that chapter is Paul's defense to those who examine him. And also, he didn't use his rights or his liberties. And he said he was not going to let any of this bring hindrance to the gospel. And he taught us in Corinthians 9 that all things are to all men, but to win some. The word, his preaching, he wanted to bring all things to all men that he might win some. So when we look at these chapters that we're studying today and we examine our own lives, are we living according to God's word that we too might be not only to our brothers and sisters in Christ, but to those that see us that are unbelievers? Are they seeing a one that is trying to live out our lives that we might win some to Christ by living God's word in our lives each day? Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I do pray that each of our lives, others will see Jesus and not see us, that we will live it as an example, that they will see Jesus in us, Father, to glorify his name. We praise you that he was the example for us. We thank you that he called men like Paul to proclaim your word, your truths, to preach, that some that hear the word might be saved, and help us to also live our lives that some might be saved to glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.